Welcome to the August 12, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, The Journey. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church as we're coming in and getting ready for our worship. We are pleased that you have decided to join us in this hour of worship this morning. Several announcements that I'll make as we get started. First of all, we'd like to get a record of your attendance this day. There are friendship pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike to just to put your name down that you were here. Guests, we ask that you fill out the information as you feel comfortable. Once you're done, member and guests alike, send it to the end, of the pew, so everybody has a chance to fill it out. Once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, so that our ushers can pick those up at the end of the service, that would be great. Several announcements that I'll give to you this week. Today we have a busy day here at College Park. Our own Cindy Johnson, our life worship coordinator, we get to I don't think embarrass her today. We get to celebrate with her and Steve as they are having a wedding shower today. No pets allowed. Is that right? Everybody else is invited, but no pets. Okay. Men, women, children are invited to come and to celebrate with Steve and with Cindy as they're getting married in less than a month now. And so we're excited about that. It'll be 2 to 5 in Smith Hall, and you're welcome to come and bring gifts, bring cash, bring credit cards, whatever you like to bring. Bring those, and I'm sure they would enjoy that. And then we want you to stay at 6 o'clock. We'll be having a special life service, our contemporary worship service. It'll also be our Mountain Outreach celebration. It will be in Smith Hall as well. And we will be joining together to celebrate and to talk about what happened in Kentucky. If you were unable to go to Kentucky, this is a perfect opportunity for you to come and to see how God worked through the people that from our church and up in Kentucky as well. It's just a great trip. And we want you to come and to be a part of that starting at 6 o'clock this evening. Schedule for the rest of the week you will find listed on your bulletin. Things like Sunday School Council will be meeting this Wednesday. Make sure you make note of that. Also, our summer series called In a Word will continue this Wednesday night. I want you to come out for that. Also, this coming Saturday, the family ministry team, which is the members of the preschool council, the children's council, the youth council, and the family enrichment committee, will be having a day-long planning retreat. And we sent you emails about this, and hopefully you've made plans to attend next Saturday from 9 until 5 here at the church. So the rest of the church, we'd love for you to pray for us as we're going to try to plan the entire year's activities so that we can provide our parents and our families with more information quicker. So if you could be praying for us next Saturday, that would be great. Also, we have our pool party, which was originally planned for last Sunday, but we lost access to Town and Country Pool. It has been rescheduled for next Sunday afternoon. This is a church-wide event. We want everybody to come to Town and Country. We will have a great time together. We'll be cooking out hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill and just hanging out at the pool at Town and Country from 4 until 7. And then at 7 o'clock, the live service will take place by the pool. So we want you to come and just to celebrate together and just to be together at Town and Country. I think that's all the announcements that I have this day. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You have already given us your information on the pew pads if you're a guest with us. We would like to give some information to you. If you would just raise your hand if you're a guest, and the ushers will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet of information, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the history of and the story of College Park and what we believe in. And this will be a great introduction for College Park to you. The best way to know about College Park is to meet the people. And we are pleased that you have decided to join us for worship this day. You will find in your bulletin our invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that comes from Psalm 135, verses 1 through 5. I invite you to stand now for this responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God.
Praise the Lord.
For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possession.
I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods.
Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, you have blessed us this day with life. Even in the midst of life's challenges and questions and difficulties, you have not left us alone. For we feel your presence in this place. And we are thankful. Because, Father, even on the best of days or the worst, your presence beside us through the blood of Christ gives us strength for the journey. Father, we thank you for this journey that you have given to us. But some days it's hard. Some days it's great. But every day is beautiful with you. So in our worship, hear us cry out, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the focus of our worship, that every step that we take would be done to glorify you. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Oh. All right. Who's under that hat? Oh, it's Sam. Okay. All right. We got some more. Come on. Yeah. It's good to see everybody this morning. Still got some coming from the back. Have any of y'all gone to the beach this week?
I'm going this afternoon.
Oh, I'm going. I just got back yesterday. And what do I have here? I
went to Myrtle Beach.
I went to Myrtle Beach. Beaches. Yeah, and this. Beaches. This I took, you know. How do you get to Myrtle Beach? Does anybody know? There's like 100. It depends. If you ask 100 people, there's 100 different ways to get to Myrtle Beach. And the way I went down
by car, by plane,
by car, and you can go by different, by car, by plane, by helicopter,
train.
You can swim, bike. There's a lot. Yeah, you can swim. It take a while, but you can swim. You can't see. Somebody else thinks we can swim.
Swimming.
Roller coaster. Well, maybe. Okay. Now. Now, how, some of you, when like I, we had to drive to Myrtle Beach. We were on a journey. We were on a trip. Now, sometimes we like when we're on that trip, we like to play games, right? Do you like playing games in the car?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, like when we go to children's camp. We sing songs, and there's a song that Mr. Fuzzy loves to hear, and it's called Are We There Yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we start singing it as soon as we pull out of the parking lot of the church. Are We There Yet? It's the most annoying song I've ever heard in my life. But that one, you know it. See, you've sung it before. Now, Are We There Yet? The fun part, a lot of times when we go on a trip, is the ride. Aren't you excited about getting there? And you're so excited, and you know what's going to happen in the games that you play. We get so excited on the journey. And there's a story in the Bible that you're going to hear Pastor Raymond talk about. And he talked about a guy by the name of Abraham. And God said, hey, Abraham, I want you to go on a journey. I'm not going to tell you where you're going, but just go on the journey. He said, God said, the journey is going to be amazing. And there's a song that the choir just sang. It's called Step by Step. If you want to go from one place to another, don't you have to take one step? Okay, sit still, buddy.
They didn't have cars back.
Oh, yeah. You had to walk.
Horses.
Yeah, you had to walk.
Camel.
You could ride a camel, but the camel had to take a step, step by step. With God, it's just like that. Every day, He wants us to take another step with Him, to do things like He wants to do them. Yeah. He will. Ooh, hear that? Ooh, that's cool. Ooh. Yeah. Step by step. The journey is what's important, and that's what God wants us to learn today. Will you pray with me? Okay. Father, we thank you for this day. We give you thanks for the journey that you have given to us. Some of us, we've been great places this summer. Everywhere we've been with you. And we're thankful that you are with us step by step. Be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now.
As we reflect on our journeys and seek to understand God's place in our lives and His role on the journeys of our lives, we look to Scripture to understand what God offers us and what He stands for in our lives. Scripture reading today begins in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, starting with the introductory verse of verse 1 and then continuing verses 11 through 20. If you do not have your own personal Bible with you, there is likely a pew Bible located close to you. I encourage you to read along with me. From the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and in the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. when you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Also from the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, the 50th Psalm, beginning in verse 1 through 8, and continuing at 22 and 23. The mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and all around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. And finally, from the New Testament, in Luke's Gospel, from the 12th chapter, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them all recline at the table, and will come to wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we appreciate your presence. We are uplifted and inspired by your abiding presence with us, your presence in this room right now. Lord, all of us, as you know far better than we do, are on a journey. A journey that started with the gift of life that you bestowed upon us and continues with our everyday existence as we walk the path of our lives, a path that on which we get to make many choices. Lord, we thank you for the offer and the gift of your presence with us, which we are free to choose or reject. But Lord, as many of us have experienced, the journey is so much greater when we allow you to travel with us. We thank you for your promises, not only your presence, but your aid. And we read in Scripture that we can bring our burdens to you, our yoke, and you will help make it light. you can help us to make our journey lighter and easier and more fulfilled when we spend time with you and trust you and allow you to walk with us, allow you to reveal your will in our lives as we take one step for you and allow you to help us take the next step along our journey. Lord, on our journeys, we are weak and we are burdened. We're burdened with the realities of this world. We are burdened by the pain of physical weakness, broken relationships, personal sin that drags us down. Lord, we need you. We need you to help lighten that burden and to lift us up and to reinforce us, because that journey is so long and so difficult when we don't have you. We're too prideful to think we can walk on our own and run on our own and travel on our own, Lord, when that is just so far from the truth. Lord, for each one of us today and tomorrow, this week and our days ahead, help us to turn to you as our guide, and help us to feel your spirit and your presence and your love, that we may also share that same gift with other people who are traveling and experiencing many of the same kinds of burdens that we are. Lord, be with us, strengthen us, help us to turn to you even in our times of greatest weakness, because we need you. It's in your Son's name that we pray and praise you. Amen.
you join me in prayer? Our gracious Lord, we thank you for your love that's beyond measure, that's never ending. We thank you, Lord, for the love of young couples as they establish Christian homes. We pray, dear Lord, that you will walk with us and guide us every day. We thank you for the love of this congregation, the love and support they give us in good times and in bad. And we thank you, Lord, for your gracious love that carries us when times are difficult. Lord, we thank you for bringing us out to the other side, for always being with us, for a love that is never ending. In Christ's name, amen.
Have you seen the show Man vs. Wild? Have you seen that? Ward? Survivor Man? Have you seen that show, Wilbert? I see you nodding. Yeah. It's kind of a guy thing, ladies. I'm sorry. You know, the idea of being stranded out there with no tools, nothing really to survive on except your wits and the land. That's a little bit barbaric. My son and I enjoy watching these shows, and we often joke that, you know, he's sitting out there and he's pulling these grubs out from underneath a rock or a log, and he's eating like roots and stuff, and we're like, hey, during the commercial breaks, those guys are tossing them nabs and Coca-Colas and stuff. I mean, there ain't no way that he's doing that. There is no way. Ironically enough, we weren't really far from the truth, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But Man vs. Wild is a show with a fellow named Bear Grylls. Some pronounce it Grylls, but I understand the correct pronunciation is Bear Grylls. He is a fellow who's British and was trained in British Special Services, and he's kind of like a modern-day Tarzan. They just kind of airlift him into these nowhere places, and he has a simple tool like maybe a water bottle or a piece of flint or something like that. And they go back in there, and he reportedly survives on just whatever he has there. You know, no outside help whatsoever, although they do admit that a camera crew goes with Bear. He's been stranded in places like the Everglades. He's been paragliding to the edge of the Andes and following the rivers into the Ecuadorian jungles and demonstrate how to make a snow cave, you know, and dig down and find water and somehow keep from freezing, you know, in Iceland. But in all of this stuff, in all these adventures, if you'll listen carefully, you'll hear a kind of a prevailing strain that kind of goes through the show, and that is, you have to learn. If you don't learn from your environment, if you don't learn from your mistakes, you won't survive. And he talks about the fact that it's not just the surviving that you learn from, it's day by day what you learn. Back to mine and Carson's joke, it turns out that in late July there was an investigation into this show. And there's a British version that shows called Born Survivor. And evidently, he was getting some of that off-camera assistance that we joked about. Some of the accusations include the fact that he was airlifted on at least a couple of occasions out to spend the night in a nice motel. I mean, yeah, okay, we can survive as long as we get you know, warm water and ESPN at night. I think I could do that. You know, you can bear anything for one day. At least that happened on a couple of occasions. And then there was this deserted island he was stranded on. Turned out it was Hawaii. Now, you know, it was one of the smaller islands, less populated and all of that, but it was on the backside, and that raft that he put together with his bare hands, you'll excuse the pun, he put this raft together. Well, it already had been cut down and preassembled and taken apart, and the logs kind of scattered randomly for him to find. You know, okay, but the point is, I still like his thought about it's the journey. It's not just the survival, it's the journey. And then that brings us to Survivor Man. No food, no shelter, no fresh water, no tools whatsoever, not even a camera crew. This guy, Les Stroud, he's the man. You know, he's a Canadian guy, and he goes into all these exotic locations as well, but he has to take 50 pounds of camera equipment with him. He doesn't have the luxury of a camera crew. He has not only to survive, but he has to film himself surviving. That gets really interesting. I've seen him go and set up the cameras, then he floats down the river on the raft, and he has to go back upstream, get the cameras, bring them down. I mean, it's really a pain. But the point of the show is, he is showing that it can be done. In what seems like the most harsh environments, you can survive. He's been in the Costa Rican rainforest, the Arctic ice floes, Georgian swamps, the High Sonora Desert, and next year's season, he's going all over the world. Great stuff, huh? Are you excited? You can't wait. I can't. It's going to be fun to watch. Les, a.k.a. Survivor Man. He's also been known to talk about the fact that it's in the journey. It's not just getting out of the rainforest or wherever he is. It's about what you learn and how you grow from your experiences while you're surviving. And that's a good thought. You know, and for the most part, except for his occasional whining, you know, like, oh, it's really cold here. I mean, he sets up the camera to show himself talking about how cold it is. I'm like, dude, man, just turn it off, go to sleep, you know, do something, build the fire up. But apart from that, he seems to be kind of the real deal. And that got me thinking about us as believers taking our journey seriously. Do we ever really learn from the experiences that we have, the relationships that we have along the way? Faith is a journey. Life is a journey. And life is a journey of faith. And we're growing as we go. Hopefully, we're learning. Faith development should be a never-ending process. It should be something that we work at each day. It's an inner journey that really continues as long as we're alive. And the writer of the book of the Hebrews was very much attuned to the fact that life and faith is a journey. And I want us to look at chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. The lectionary reading says that we read verses 1 through 3 and then verses 8 through 16. I'm going to go ahead and read all of them because I think it's important here as we go from verse 1 through 16 to get a little continuity. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their very own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Talks about Enoch. Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 verse 24 says this about Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God. Now, as I thought about that, the whole metaphor of walking with God, what does that mean exactly? Well, for those that you love, for those of you that are dating, those of you that are courting, those of you getting ready to get married, you know, when you take a walk, do you walk in silence? Perhaps sometimes you do. And just take in, you know, what you're experiencing together. But other times, you have conversations. Nice long walks, and you talk about things. Things that concern you. Things that you're happy about. Things you rejoice for. Anything and everything. That's what you talk about as you walk together. And that's what I visualize as Enoch walked with God. They talked about things. Anything, everything, whatever was on their mind. And as such, Enoch is held up by the writer of Hebrews as an example, a worthy example of someone who had faith. It's about a journey. It's about walking with God. He pleased God. Chapter 11, verse 5 of Hebrews tells us that. He pleased God. Walking with God implies what? Movement. Moving forward. Because if you're not with God, then you're behind, spiritually speaking. Did you get that? If you're not walking with God, then you're being left behind, spiritually speaking. Secondly, notice that our faith, it leads us, as it led Abraham and Sarah, to set out with God, not really knowing where your journey is going to take you. And ultimately, yes, we do know where our journey is taking us. It is taking us to heaven, and we understand that. But it's the day-by-day things that sometimes we don't understand. Look again in verse 8. Verse 8, it says, talking about Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. The writer of Hebrews notes that the saints of old walked with God by faith. They knew. They knew that they were strangers. They knew that they were pilgrims. They knew that they were aliens in this world. This is not their permanent residence. We're all aliens, strangers, passing through, if you will, on the way somewhere else. But the point is about the journey here. It's not just all about focusing there. We need to enjoy the journey here. And how do we do that? We do it by faith. We do that as a community of faith, constantly seeking God's direction. God's not static. God is not stayed. On the contrary, He's always at work. Look around you. Marvel at how God is at work around you. Marvel at how God continues to reveal Himself in new ways to new generations through new forms of worship, new forms of communication. There are churches, and I'm not being critical in a negative sense. I'm being critical in an analytical sense. I believe that there are churches who hundreds of years ago set down their faith and their beliefs and creeds and confessions. And then hundreds of years later, here they are still handing out the same material and saying that's what you're going to believe if you want to be one of us. Now, unfortunately, I think there is a struggle with this whole thing of creeds and confessions. Because I believe our denomination is struggling with that. What part do they play within our congregations? I know that there are Baptist churches that have basically adopted the mindset that here is what you believe if you want to be one of us, which is about as un-Baptist as you can get. But unfortunately, they take this specific interpretation of Scripture and they declare it infallible because it meets some human standard of accuracy. I gotta wonder, does God laugh or does God cry at our arrogance? I have to wonder. And it apparently doesn't matter that our understanding of God and what God wills for us and the church may appear to change when in effect really what's happening is as we grow and as we mature in faith, we just begin to understand more about God and His ways in a more intimate setting. It becomes more personal for us. We understand it more clearly. Now, I'll concede that at the heart of most creeds and confessions, there is timeless truth. There really is. But also contained in some of these confessions and creeds, I think, are beliefs that periodically need to be re-examined. Re-examined, re-evaluated, and perhaps even rewritten. I find inspiration in the pastor John Robinson, who was one of the pastors of the Pilgrims, as they set forth into what they were calling the New World, what we call the United States of America, the Americas. As they were getting ready to set forth sail, he looked at that group and he said these words, "The Lord has more truth and light yet to break forth out of his holy word." The psalmist said it this way, "God shall not keep silent." A modern translation might be, "God's still speaking. God is still revealing himself through the power of his Holy Spirit and through his word." Thirdly, I think we should never be convinced that our faith journey is over. When we get to the point where we think that our belief system is pretty much set in stone, that's the way it is, never to be altered, I shall not be moved. To cease growing, spiritually speaking, is to begin to die. As I said a few moments ago, to not walk with God is to be left behind. We need to refine our faith daily. We need to refine our beliefs daily through biblical and devotional study, your personal study time. I think attendance in Sunday school, and you know I beat this drum a lot, but it's true. We need to be, if you're not in Sunday school, consider your hand slapped, come next week, okay? Sunday school is important because it gives us an opportunity to look at God's word, to hear one another, to hear different interpretations perhaps, to hear different applications perhaps of the same scripture. It's valuable to learn from one another. Discipleship. This fall, you may have seen posters as you came in today. We are going to begin a discipleship series. It will meet some on Sunday evenings. It will also meet during weeknights in people's homes. We will be gathering around the theme in worship of why. Why? Asking the tough questions. Why are we here? What is our purpose? Those questions, a child from the beginning, one of the first things to come out of their mouth is why? 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 And like children of faith, we need to be asking those questions and seeking the answers. Discipleship. We need to be growing in our faith. Community worship. We need to be here together, right? Don't you enjoy worship? Being together in worship? Please say yes. Okay, good. I enjoy it. I hope you do. We draw strength from one another. Being together in worship, it's valuable. That's how we grow. Faith involves the willingness to stretch ourselves, to explore new things, be open to hearing one another, talking, discussing God's word, hearing what God is doing in other people's lives, praying that God would work through you. That's all part of our faith journey. In other words, like Enoch and Abraham and Sarah, we need to continually walk with God. We need to walk with God, who is Spirit, who leads us. You know, when I set out on a journey of faith as a teenager, I had no inkling whatsoever I would end up at Wake Forest. I had never even heard of Wake Forest. Believe it or not, in the state of North Carolina, in junior high school, I'd never heard of Wake Forest. But I ended up here, eventually a religion major, and then I left here and went to Fort Worth, Texas. I met my wife there. We were married in Fort Worth. I graduated from Southwestern Seminary, and in many ways, my journey there became our journey. As we left from Fort Worth and moved to Arkansas, we really discovered what cleaving to your spouse means. We really did, because she had never really been away from her family. I'd never been much farther than 3 hours, you know, in terms of an ongoing type deal, away from my family. And here we were in Arkansas. Jason and Lana, I don't know if you're here this morning. I make apologies. I'm not talking bad about Arkansas. Jason and Lana. Lana was one of my youth in Arkansas. Lana Hun was. And so, you know, we have fond memories of our time in Arkansas. But yet they were very challenging times. Because we learned to depend on God. We learned to depend on each other. We learned to depend on people that we were building relationships with in the community of faith. It was a valuable time for us. It really was. It was a place where I began to understand what ministry should be. Ministry should be by the people, for the people. It's not something that I believe is handed down, you know, from ministerial staff. Yes, we're ministers too, but so are you. You minister to one another daily. That's where I began to really understand that. And I like to believe that, that God rewarded our faithfulness in Arkansas by letting us come back to North Carolina. And we came back to Hendersonville where our first child was born. And I had a pastor there who helped me to understand that we did not have to agree on all the minor points of theology in order to work well together and to have an effective ministry. And I will forever be indebted to him. And I will forever be a Baptist, pretty much for that reason. From there, about 15 years ago, we came here, and you know most of the rest of that. But the point I'm trying to make is, if I knew where I was going to be traveling, where my journey would lead, when I started, it would be overwhelming. You know, we take our journey, and it's step by step, by faith. I don't think we could handle if we knew all that life had in store for us. We couldn't handle it. So we walk by faith every day. We commence our journey every morning fresh and anew. When I began, I didn't know how my theology and beliefs and philosophy of ministry, I didn't know how that was going to kind of evolve and change and mature and grow. None of us do. We go step by step. That kind of faith that we see in Abraham and Sarah has no clear-cut itinerary. You know, we have twists and turns that life throws us, but we continue in faith. I want to challenge you this morning. Some of you, I know your faith journey. I know some of the circumstances that you've had to encounter and how you've grown through that. But I want to challenge you this morning to look back on your faith journey and see what God has taught you over the last few years. And I want you to think, for some of you way back, think about those people that had the most effect, those relationships which really affected your faith and your belief system. And I want you to do something special this week. I want you to pick up the telephone, or I want you to pick up a pen and paper, and I want you to give a phone call or a letter to someone who has profoundly affected your faith journey. If they're still with us here on this earth, I want you to reach out and touch them in a personal way this week to let them know what an effect they had on your faith journey. It's important for us to know, isn't it? Do you like getting those cards and letters saying, I really appreciate you, I really... Sure. So take an opportunity to do that this week. Furthermore, I want you to examine your own faith journey. If you are not a believer, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have not begun that faith journey that I've been speaking of yet. But we want to give you a chance this morning to begin that journey. You can talk to anyone who is a believer. It's not easy all the time, but it's always a blessing. Because we understand where we're headed in the sense of eternity. But it's a joy to get up every morning excited about what God is going to teach us that day. So I challenge you, come. Let's talk about it. Let me tell you and work with you as we lead you to a point where you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are a believer already and just need to pause for a few minutes and say, Lord, forgive me. I've been basically in one spot. I'm not growing in my faith. Forgive me and help me. That may be your prayer this morning. You may want to come here to the altar. Others may want to come here and pray that the Spirit would be free to move in this place and to help us, encourage us, and guide us. You may be here and you want to join this group of believers. We encourage one another, and we would be glad for you to be a part of that. There's many ways that we receive guests and members, and we'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. you remain standing as we pray together? Dear Father, we pray that this would be our song throughout the ages, that you led us all the way, that would be our strength. Father, we pray as we leave from this place that we would recommit ourselves to allowing you to lead us, that we would trust you completely with all that we are and all that we have. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.